Welcome to the Churchosity Podcast. If you're looking for a place to have fun and edifying conversations about church culture, then you have landed in the right spot. What's up, everybody? My name is Heath Brady.
And I'm Andrea Brady.
And we are your Churchosity Podcast personnel. Coming at you one more time.
I know.
On this fabulous day, this spring day.
Yep.
Spring is here.
Finally.
Although it doesn't feel like it.
Well, it's a little warmer, I must say.
What, 2 degrees?
A little bit. And there's flowers out there.
Oh, yes, the flowers. I saw on the news the other day, I think it was in Colorado, they were getting snow, like feet of snow.
I know. I saw that too.
Note to self, never live in Colorado.
Oh, sorry about that, all you Colorado listeners. You must love it, though, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of people love the snow.
That's true.
So
I don't have a particular affinity for it, but I don't hate it.
No, I think it's pretty.
I just can't imagine having snow in March. But that's just me.
Yeah. We've had Easter snow before, haven't we?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know that there, like, I remember one year, this is going back like 10, 15 years ago, it snowed on May 2nd.
Oh, my.
I remember that.
Yeah, it can happen almost anywhere.
Yeah, so. And it has snowed on my birthday before.
That's true.
So that's pretty rare. Well, Andy?
Yeah?
Aside from the weather report, how the heck are you?
I'm good.
You're good?
Yeah, you know, as a Lutheran, now I really enjoy celebrating Lent.
Yes.
You know, so many years we were non-denominational, and they don't really do that. A lot of churches don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I would feel like I was missing out.
Me too.
Yeah, it's beautiful, and I really enjoy it.
Yeah, Lent was really beautiful this year, especially.
Mm-hmm.
We got introduced to the Holden's Prayer.
Yep.
Which is absolutely phenomenal. And if you've never heard of this, Andy, didn't you say that you can find like versions of it on YouTube?
Yeah, you can see. It's like a singing hymn-like prayer. It's really beautiful.
Yeah.
You can YouTube it. Holden, H-O-L-D-E-N.
Yeah, and it's got different movements. So it's a liturgical type of setup.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just gorgeous.
Yeah, so we had that every Wednesday during Lent.
Mm-hmm.
And
the soups.
Oh, yeah.
The and soup beforehand, suppers.
Yeah, we had soup supper.
Yeah.
So, and now we're in Holy Week, so it's really cool.
Yeah.
Yep. Easter's coming.
Easter's coming. Yeah. Good Friday's coming up soon.
Mm-hmm.
Makes me think of the infamous Tony Campolo. And his famous sermon, It's Friday, but Sunday's a coming.
Oh, yeah. Oh, boy.
It's Friday, but Sunday's a coming.
With a little handshake.
Yeah. That Craig Finley picked up. Isn't that awesome?
Yep. Hey, honey, how are you doing?
I am fantastical.
Uh-oh.
I am.
Fantastical.
Huh? Yes.
Okay.
Life is good.
All right.
There are exciting things happening.
Okay.
And I know that I keep teasing that with our least listening audience, but just be patient and trust me when I say that there's going to be a day not too long from now where we have a very cool announcement to make.
Okay.
But I'm just really enjoying the process of watching God work. And it's really cool.
Yeah, it is cool.
So exciting things are coming.
Okay.
Very exciting things are coming.
Nice.
So Are you looking forward to continuing and finishing our conversation about remarriage?
Yep.
On this episode?
Yeah, we're going to wrap this up.
Wrap it up.
Wrap it up.
Yep.
Have you I mean, really, there could be an entire podcast about this.
There really could.
We could just keep going.
Yeah.
But, you know, we got to stop somewhere.
We do. Have you been enjoying our conversation?
I think it's been helpful. It's a little triggering.
A little bit.
I think it was brave of us to talk about this in the to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've had mostly positive feedback. We have had some haters.
Yes.
But, you know, we delete those people.
Haters gonna hate.
Because, you know, everybody's got an opinion.
Yep.
And I like to think about Luke chapter 18 when Jesus was telling the parable about the Pharisee. Luke chapter 18, verse 9. And he also told this parable to some people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself. God, I thank you that I'm not like other people. Swindlers, unjust, adulterers, you know, you could even add remarried. Or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. And I think that people who have gone through the ringer of divorce and navigating the difficult waters of remarriage need God's grace, and they're reminded of it practically every single day.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have that in your life, if that's not your demographic, praise Jesus and thank him, but don't point fingers. And don't forget that God's grace extends to all. And nobody's perfect. Things happen in life. So, you know, like we say, if you're still breathing, God has a plan for you.
Amen right? to that. Even for us lowly tax collectors.
I mean, Matthew was a tax collector.
Right. Remember? That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. So I just wanted to start off by talking about that just a little bit. And that's why we did this series, and it's not easy.
Right.
And that's why they're so underserved in the church. As, you know, by and large, I think there aren't a lot of people willing to talk about it.
Yes.
So.
But we're certainly willing.
Yep.
And I feel like even though the majority of the feedback we have received has been positive, even with those handful of haters, it just proves that it's a conversation that's very necessary to have.
Yeah.
And I think that those verses you read, Andy, are a great way to kick off the remainder of our conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But before we dive into our conversation, we just want to quickly remind you to give us a rating and leave us a review. And we also want to encourage all of you to check out our website. Go to churchocity.com to find the home of all things Churchocity. Not just our episodes, but we've also got blogs and a really cool survey that we'd love you to fill out. So go to churchocity.com, give it a gander, hang out for a while, and enjoy.
Enjoy.
Well, thus far, we have completed 3/5 of the journey in this series on Christian remarriages.
Mm-hmm.
We've been talking about the 5 keys to successful Christian marriage, and we've tackled the first 3. The first one was forgiveness and grace. The second one was communication with love, because you can communicate all you want to, but without love, you're that noisy gong, right?
Right.
And then on our previous episode, we discussed having a renewed hope, having that shared spiritual foundation with each other. So on this episode, we are going to handle the remaining 2 keys to successful Christian marriage. So first, let's talk about prioritizing family unity.
All right.
And the
That's fun.
The biblical approach to that.
Yeah.
It's no secret that remarriage often involves the blending of families. Mm-hmm. It's not always the case, but more often than not, there are kids involved. So, especially because there are kids involved, it's crucial to prioritize family unity. And I think that Romans chapter 12, verse 18 is a really good launching pad for this conversation. Romans 12, 18 says that if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. So, Andy, when we look at that verse, mm-hmm. what might be some ideas that come to mind on what that might look like or why that would be important?
Well, because you're dealing with what we like to call the others, that would be the other parent that you're no longer married to.
Correct. And their family.
And their family.
Mm-hmm.
So that can be really challenging because usually when you're divorced, it's because you can't get along or there's issues and you have baggage that come along with everything.
Right.
So figuring out a way to get along and be unified is very difficult. And yes. I would say that you definitely need scripture. You know, you need to establish a sense of unity and mutual respect among the children and the other family in order to create a stable environment.
Mm-hmm.
You really need scripture, too, to lean on and to help guide you and how to behave and how to talk. And what you know, you kind of need to measure your attitude against scripture all the time.
Mm-hmm. I would say that this part of the remarried dynamic is probably something that wasn't done well in the previous marriage.
Yeah.
You know, the solidification and prioritizing of family unity.
Mm-hmm.
Because as you said, in the previous marriage, there was a schism somewhere.
Right.
Something was broken.
Mm-hmm.
And it just chiseled away and whatever that might look like, right?
Right.
So when you enter into a remarriage context, especially if there's children, now there is an undertaking of getting right this time
mm-hmm.
what wasn't gotten right the previous time.
Mm-hmm.
And so having, you know, like we call it home team.
Yeah.
You know, we established very early on that yes, there are the others, there is baggage, there are bruises, there's insecurities, but underneath this roof, this is our home team. This mm-hmm. is our fortress of solitude. We do life as a unit, and that's a priority.
Right.
And that includes family activities, family traditions, anything that strengthens the bond
mm-hmm.
between home team.
Right.
Because I think that especially for the kids, it's very, very necessary for them to feel respected as well. Because as we've mentioned before, they're going through their own set of insecurities and brokenness because of the failed previous marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Coming into a new marriage situation.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to not only be able to trust the new parent dynamic that they're having in your home, but they want to be trusted as well.
Right.
It literally is a unit. And I think that the more that their feelings and their thoughts and their perspectives are considered, the greater likelihood of elevating that sense of security and mutual respect with everyone, especially the kids.
Yeah.
I mean, we know that Christian remarriage often involves blended families.
Yes, it does.
And as you mentioned, Andy, it creates a very unique set of challenges and opportunities. So, Andy, let's explore the importance of prioritizing family unity in the context of remarriage, and maybe even talk about how to create a strong, cohesive family.
All right. Well, first I want to say, if you don't have a family pastor or a counselor that you're consulting with, go now and find one.
Go now.
Because, spoiler alert, the fifth key to a successful Christian remarriage is having a counselor.
Yeah, professional help.
It's not like we're going to sit here and discuss counseling at length here on this episode. But,
well, we're not counselors.
Yes, we're not.
We don't do anything in the medical field whatsoever.
But we want to push you. And actually, I think from episode one, I started talking about the fifth key already, because if you don't have one yet, go. Because you need one. You really do. Just bite the bullet. Find someone that you can sit down and talk with. Ideally, weekly. I know that sounds like a lot, but if you haven't done this before, you need the tools in your toolbox to be able to successfully navigate. And the longer you wait, you know, you'll be playing damage control. You just need to go.
Well, and you said something interesting, that having a weekly appointment seems like a lot.
Yeah.
But a lot can happen in a week.
Yeah. I mean, at least at first.
Sure.
Try to go weekly at first until you get some tools in your toolbox and you learn how to use your tools and you start successfully navigating the waters of remarriage by, you know, as a couple.
Yeah.
You really need guidance. I wouldn't recommend trying to do it all on your own.
No. Like, I like how you said bite the bullet, because I think that us trying to do, there, as Christians, we try to do our Christian walk on our own, and we discuss that a lot as well. But in a remarriage context, don't let your pride deter you from getting help.
Yeah.
And we'll unpack that a little bit more in a few minutes, but Andy?
Yeah.
Why don't we share some of like our favorite tools?
Okay.
That we were given by our counselor and pastors, and kind of how we employed them and whether they were beneficial or not.
Okay.
You want to go first? You want me to go first?
Well, I'll start.
Okay.
I think that, for me, the concept of setting boundaries was a foreign idea. Because when I first heard that phrase, I didn't even know what that meant. I'd never heard it before. Or if I had heard it, I didn't really understand what that would even look like, practically speaking. To me, setting a boundary means you are proactive and you tell the other person that you're dealing with what you're willing to accept and not accept.
Right.
Like, you're upfront. It's kind of like telling the children what the rules are and what the consequences will be if they break the rules. But like, as an adult, it's called setting boundaries.
Right.
So like, for example, say your ex drops off the children on the front porch on Sunday night or whatever, and they want to stand there at the door and talk to you about business, you know, things that
family business.
Family business.
Right.
A boundary could be, hey, when the kids come back home to me, I need it to just be, hi, did you have fun? Okay, great. See you later. It's not an opportunity to talk to me about business.
Right.
Because there's a transition happening, and that's hard enough to deal with. Mm-hmm. Then also having to have your mind in another place dealing with your ex.
Yeah. I think it's really, this is a really important boundary that you're bringing up, that drop off and pick up are not opportunities to discuss business.
Right.
So those are transition moments.
Right. So like, for example, you could make a boundary like, I mean, I know it sounds tough, but you could say something like, hey, you know, I need to set a boundary with you. Like when you drop off the children and at the front door, you know, it's just a hi and goodbye kind of thing. And we'll be friendly to one another. It's not an opportunity to talk about business. If you want to send me an email or call me like the next day, you know, we could talk. But don't come up to the porch at drop off and expect to have a conversation.
Or out to the driveway.
Yeah. And then, you know, if they don't just, you can say what the consequence could be. You could say, look, if you continue to do that, I'm going to have my spouse open the door and they can handle you.
Dun, dun, dun.
Or you can like tell them to get out of the car and you can't even come up to the front door. I mean, I know that sounds harsh, but you know,
but you're talking about something that's really important, Andy.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, it, like you said, it's hard enough. The transition from, you know, the time with the kids are with the others back under your roof,
mm-hmm.
or vice versa, if you're the visitation parent.
What's difficult is that, you know, ideally you want to have your the others play along. You want them to be respectful of your boundaries. You want them to, you know, want what's best for the kids and not be continuously pushing their agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that doesn't happen.
Right.
And so it's hard. Like, I mean, not everybody's ex is going to be like, oh, yeah, you're right. That sounds like a good idea.
Yeah.
And then what do you do after that? It's just really frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I get it. And as much as you want to rely on Romans 12:18, it's really hard, especially if the other person is pushing your buttons on purpose and they don't want to play along and they don't care about unity and they just want to, you know, get a rise out of you and ruin your day.
Yeah. What happens when you run out of all that is within you to be at peace?
Yeah. It's hard. I know. So, I mean, but setting those boundaries
mm-hmm.
protects you
yep.
and your mental health and your children, because when they come back to you, you want to be available to them emotionally and mentally so that you can welcome them home.
And that all that looks different for every situation too.
Yeah.
That coming back home thing.
Yeah. So that's one tool in my toolbox, is learning how to set boundaries and what that might look like. That was just one example of many
yeah.
that you'll probably have to set.
And notice that we're not saying that setting boundaries means cutting people out.
No.
Because that is not a boundary.
Boundaries are there to continue the relationship.
Yeah.
You set a boundary with someone because you want to maintain the relationship and you want to explain to the person what they need to do to make that happen.
Mm-hmm.
Successfully.
And then on the flip side, you can also demonstrate those boundaries of your own back to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't create opportunities to have business conversations either,
right?
You know, that kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
practice what you preach, essentially.
Yeah.
For me, one of the most valuable tools that I got from the counselor was the simple cell analogy.
Oh.
Yeah, he drew this circle on a piece of paper with a whole bunch of pluses and minuses in it, and he was talking about how a cell works. You know, mm-hmm. like a cell, a microscopic organism, a cell.
Right.
And that each cell has this membrane around it, but it's got this little like trap door that opens and closes and opens and closes.
Yes.
And on the inside of the cell, the positive charges every time that trap door opens, it boots the negative out. And then the trap door closes. And then the positive charges set up like a barrier around that trap door so that every time it opens, the negative can't come back in. And so it's just this constant process of every negative charge that is created inside the cell, the positive charges are expelling them and then keeping them out. And he equated that to the family unity, the family bond, that that all of those things that contribute to negativity in your family unit, in your home, in your relationships with one another, you get rid of it. And you set up boundaries, you set up, you know, support systems, whatever it might take. Not that there's never going to be another negative thing, but when those negative things pop up, the stronger home team is, the more positive energy there is to get rid of or deal with the negative as a team. And I just loved that so much.
That was really
like, we used to say things like, whatever's fun, that's what we're doing.
No more drama for daddy and mama.
Yeah, we were going to have a sign made above our front door, hanging above the front door. No more drama for daddy and mama. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, if you aren't working on cultivating your spiritual life together, go now and do that.
That's right.
Because you need to have the words of Christ richly dwelling within you, a la Colossians 3, to be able to create the strong, loving family despite the broken families and any strained relationships.
True.
What does that look like?
Being in the Word on a daily basis.
Yeah. We discussed that in our last episode, that that's a process to get to.
Yeah.
But, you know, if the kids see or know or hear you doing it, man, it speaks volumes.
Yeah.
It really does.
You really need to get to the place where you can love even in the face of someone who's not loving you back. And what that might look like is, you know, your child comes home and you know that they love being over at your ex's house, and you encourage that.
You be a cheerleader for that relationship.
Being a cheerleader for your child's relationship with the other parent is important, even if, you know, maybe you guys aren't getting along, or you know, you don't badmouth the other parent, you don't talk about the reasons why until they're old enough to completely understand and want to know the answers to those questions. And even then, a watered down version is best.
Yeah.
Because it's important for them to still love that other parent.
Yep.
You know,
and respect them.
And respect them, yes. And how do we do that? Jesus.
Right.
Because the human our human nature doesn't want to do that. Our human nature is constantly at battle. And things rub us the wrong way. We get jealous. We get mad. You know, the kid comes home with a new expensive toy and you're like, you know, you want to rip your hair out, and maybe you're jealous, or that parent wants to take your kid on a vacation to an expensive place, and you're sitting there grumbling, oh, they never wanted to do that when we were married, you know, that kind of stuff. But you got to get rid of that. It's natural, but you got to be in the Word. You got to be praying. You know, you have to rely on Jesus like every single day, so heavily relying on Jesus to obtain the eternal perspective and do what's right and do what's best for your children. And for yourself, too, because letting go of all of that kind of stuff is so freeing, you know, because when your kids are grown and they look back, they're going to know, hey, you know, mom or dad, they loved us. And maybe, you know, they didn't buy us the fanciest toy, or maybe, you know, things weren't always great, but I know that they always wanted and were trying hard. You know, and they loved Jesus, and they did the best that they could. I mean, isn't that what every parent kind of wants them, their kids to say about them?
Yeah.
You know, they don't want their kid looking back and thinking, man, every time I came home excited to show my mom or my dad something or talk to them about what happened over the weekend, they were just so grumpy and they hated it, and it made it so I never wanted to talk to them about, you know, that other part of my life.
Yeah.
It's depressing.
Yep. I think that also, like, when you have, like, whether you are the visitation parent or the residential parent, those days or nights where you are kidless,
yeah,
those are great opportunities for you as a new married, remarried couple to go on dates and spend time in the Word, like, deal aggressively and offensively with all of those negative energies, if you will,
yeah,
while the kids are away.
Mm-hmm.
Because that also gets your head screwed on, you know, the right way for when the kids come back.
Right.
And it makes it easier and easier and easier for that transition time as well.
Mm.
And I think that constantly demonstrating that you are a cheerleader for the kids' relationship with the other parent goes a long way.
I think so too.
Because essentially getting to the place where what happened between you and your previous spouse happened, but we are going to love the kids and get along for their sake.
Mm-hmm.
That is, like, so crucial.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's not easy. Not every single situation is a walk in the park with this. We get that. Trust us. Been there, done that, bought the shirt. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But along those lines, Andy, we should dive into some co-parenting dynamics.
Ooh.
Because in blended families,
uh-huh,
co-parenting can be a complex dance.
Mm.
Especially if you're uncoordinated at it. Because it involves both biological parents and the step-parents.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be a challenge learning how to balance authority, discipline, and parenting styles.
Yeah.
Well, first, I think you need to make an intentional effort to build trust and understanding among all family members.
Yep.
But also establishing clear expectations and boundaries. And that's what we've been talking about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
An early goal to reach for is to have clear communication channels and consistent rules.
Yeah.
Because those help mitigate conflicts arising from the different parenting approaches. Hopefully, there's a parenting plan in place. Because at the end of the day, and I can't tell you the number of times that I have actually counseled people in this, at the end of the day, you let your paperwork do its job.
Right.
Because if there's a conflict,
you go back to the paperwork.
You go back
plan.
To the paperwork.
Yeah.
Right. And Andy, mm-hmm, I don't normally speak for you, but I think I can speak for you this time.
Yeah.
You and I are huge advocates for saying that the paperwork is like ground floor.
Oh, yeah.
And like elaborating and going off script from that parenting plan really is the goal.
Mm-hmm.
To be able to have such a great channel of communication and co-parenting with the other spouse, there's so much more allowance. Like if you're the visiting parent and it's not your night to have the kids, but there's like a concert coming up and you'd really love to take your kid to the concert and it's not on one of your days.
Right.
Picking up the phone long in advance and saying, hey, there's this thing. Would it be cool if blah, 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 blah. Now, if you've got this atmosphere of respect and clear communication, even if there's completely different parenting approaches between the two of you,
mm-hmm,
you're on the same page and there's a mutual respect going on, you're comfortable enough then to say, sure, go have fun. That sounds awesome.
Right. I mean, but that's the goal.
Yeah, that's the goal. But that doesn't always happen.
No.
And it doesn't always work that way. And fortunately, especially if there is paperwork, that is your highest paid employee, if you will. It does all of the work for you.
It does.
Seriously. And well, and you don't have to argue. You don't have to get, you know, upset. You don't have to do anything. All you have to do is say, check the parenting plan.
Right.
But remember, that road goes both ways too.
Yep, that's true.
So you can't wield that like a sword or something against the other parent, right? Because
mm-hmm.
you're held accountable to the same paperwork too. That's so true. Just keep that in mind. Andy, I think that you had some verses that you wanted to read.
Yeah, I mean, earlier we referenced Romans 12. So I thought we should read it more in context. And starting with verse 14, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you'll heap burning coals on his head. Sorry. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I mean, that shouldn't be your goal, to heap burning coals on the head, but you know, the principle is there.
Yeah.
Not to take your own revenge and to be at peace with all men, because it can come down to, you know, just letting God be in control. I mean, he is in control anyway. We're fools if we think we're in control. You know, we're not.
Right. Right. But those are really good verses to cling to, because yeah. It can be hard.
Yeah, we have to always try to take the high road.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even if the others are persecuting you.
Yeah.
I remember the very first time I said no to the other grandparents. And it's like war was on. Like, I said no to something, and they definitely were not used to me ever saying no.
Mm-hmm.
That was not something I ever did in my previous life, and they did not like that one bit, and, you know, things were never the same afterward.
Right.
And it was sad. I mean, really, really sad. I even tried to explain why I said no. But they weren't listening. They weren't having it. They were all about their agenda.
Mm-hmm. And that's when you go back to the parenting plan.
Yeah.
And that's when you go back to the tools of the simple cell, the tool of setting boundaries.
Yeah. I mean, you can't always get along with everyone. Even, you know, if you set a boundary and say no to something, you can't control how other people are going to act.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I was always trying to be fair, but you know, fairness wasn't afforded to me.
Yeah.
So remembering that God is watching, he's watching. Just remember that.
Yeah.
He can help you.
Yep, and sometimes that meant I had to answer the door.
Yes, exactly. And again, we're talking about, you know, how important counseling does help with that.
Yeah, and seeking professional help is very crucial. It's kind of like the underlying thing in all of these key points.
Mm-hmm. But ideally, you know, it'd be nice to have, you know, your baseline, which is your parenting plan, to have an open communication with the other family, the other parent, the other grandparents, and mutual respect. You know, you have your boundaries. They want to play along for the sake of the children. They want to do what's right. And I mean, that's ideal.
Yes.
Some people, I mean, I know some people have birthday parties where the others are invited. they have holidays where the others are invited. And I think that that's awesome.
Yeah.
If that's a possibility. Yeah. Some people, it's totally not a possibility, but it would be really awesome. And if that is, that could be a goal, but, you know, it could be unrealistic.
Yeah. And when those things are not a possibility, what is possible is that your heart can be right before Jesus.
Right.
And that your relationship between your new spouse can be in a right standing. Mm-hmm. And what goes on under your roof can be solidified by Home Team.
That's right.
And just keep at it. Understand and appreciate this doesn't, you don't just snap your fingers and all of this, all the ducks are in a row. These are things you have to work at. And so that's why we strenuously suggest that counseling,
yeah,
have counseling as a major part of your life.
Mm-hmm.
It does help. It makes me think of Proverbs chapter 15, verse 22, that advises, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed.
Mm.
It's important to remember that a trained counselor can provide valuable insights, helping couples navigate challenges and providing tools for a strong and resilient marriage.
Right.
And we've just named a few.
Yeah.
But just being able to sit in a space with a counselor,
mm-hmm,
and let them do what they do, which is to listen and to give counsel and help and assistance. And Andy, you and I were blessed to have a Christian counselor.
Right.
Because even though it wasn't a religious appointment by any stretch of the imagination, we knew that our counselor was doing major carpet time for our situation.
Yeah, which means prayer.
Prayer.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And that meant a lot.
Yeah.
That meant a lot.
It did.
So, remarried couples can intentionally build a cohesive family unit characterized by mutual respect, shared values, and a commitment to facing challenges together.
Mm-hmm.
By nurturing family unity, couples create a loving and supportive environment that reflects the transformative power of God's grace within their remarried family. You know, one of my favorite ways that we demonstrated how important family unity was going to be to us was at our wedding.
Oh, yeah.
Because we included the kids during the blending part of, mm-hmm, the ceremony.
Right.
You know how most marriages, they do something like a unity candle or blending of the sands, or do they do stuff with stones or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
We did a blending of the sands, and we literally like used that metaphor for our whole family.
Mm-hmm.
And we had the kids participate. And so we put on display for everyone who was in attendance at our wedding that our marriage wasn't just the two of us.
Right.
It was all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And that they are God's gifts to us. And they are included.
Right.
And that was kind of like the baseline,
mm-hmm,
for us, mm-hmm, moving forward with our home team, you know.
I know. I remember. That was, yeah, so cool.
For a lot of people, they still talk about it to this day. That was their favorite part of our wedding.
Aw.
Yeah. It was pretty intense.
Yeah, it was pretty powerful.
Yeah, totally. Well, in conclusion, Christian remarriage is an opportunity for redemption, growth, and lasting love. It's important to remember that we need to embrace forgiveness, communicate with love, establish a shared spiritual foundation, and prioritize family unity, all along with seeking professional guidance from a counselor or a trusted pastor. We can't say that enough.
Right.
It can be challenging, but couples can build a solid foundation for a successful and fulfilling remarriage. So as couples embark on this journey, have the confidence knowing that the Lord loves you, that the Lord forgives you, and that the Lord wants you to live the rest of your life serving Him with all you've got. So seek Him and His principles, and He will sustain you and strengthen your union.
Amen. And that's all we have to say about that.
Thank you for listening to the Churchosity Podcast. Please don't forget to give us a rating and leave us a review, because your ratings and your reviews not only help popularize Churchosity, but also make us a heck of a lot easier for other people to find us. Over to you, Andy.
Be sure to check out our website, churchosity.com. There you can follow us on the socials, become a Churchosity Patreon, and drop us a message and give us your feedback, because we'd really love to hear from you.
And don't forget to spread the word about the Churchosity Podcast by just simply telling a friend to tell a friend what we're doing here.
Yeah, let them be a part of the conversation too.
But always remember that, just as it says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, that the goal of our instruction is love.
From a pure heart.
And from a good conscience.
And a sincere faith.
So we thank each and every one of you again for listening, and we look forward to catching you all on the next episode of Churchosity Podcast. Peace.